Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. It's Patty Mack here, Lifestyle every Saturday, right here from 1 to 2 on CFAX 1070. I love being here every Saturday with you because we get to meet such wonderful people, hear their stories. And today is no exception. We're going to talk later on to Charlene from Aesthetic Design Concepts about feng shui and how that can improve your life, your home. She'll give us all those details. Esther Kane is joining us off the top. We're going to talk about her book. It's called It's Not About the Food. And, you know, many people struggle with weight, me included. And we've been on many diets and, you know, gone the gamut. A lot of people who are slim don't ever understand that every day is a battle when you're battling weight and that it's in your head. It's something you think about all the time. And society doesn't help with that. And Esther is a clinical counselor and has a great take on this from her own experience. And it's a great book, and I think you're going to really enjoy reading it. Welcome to the show, Esther.
Yes.
Hi there. So Esther, you're from Courtney right now, aren't you? You've been all over the country, but you live on our island now.
I do. I live in Courtney full-time, but I travel a lot, yeah.
You do. And, you know, your book I thought was great. First of all, the design on the cover is excellent.
Oh, thank you.
I think it kind of tells a story. And looking at your website and all you do for women, you have a real passion for women and the struggle that they go through.
Yes, I do. I do. It's my life's calling.
So tell us about your journey with food, because I know your mom was very prominent in the food industry. I think it was Chatelaine she worked with.
Well, my mother's name is Marion Kane, and she was the food editor of the Toronto Star for almost 20 years. And it's Canada's largest newspaper. So I grew up in Toronto with a food critic mother.
Wow.
And, yeah, my mother was very well known in Toronto and was on every newspaper box. It was quite embarrassing when I was a teenager, but her face was everywhere, and I looked just like her. So no getting away from that. And so I was taken to the finest establishments, eating establishments in Toronto from a very, very young age to taste foods, test foods, you know, see which dishes would be written about and so forth. So, and on the other extreme, my parents were divorced and my father was a vegan. So he was into health food and macrobiotics. So I lived half time with each parent, and one half of the week I would be eating gourmet food of all kinds, and my mother is a carnivore, so I would eat that. And then the other half of the week, I would be eating this vegan macrobiotic diet, sort of brown rice and vegetables and tofu. So it was a very confusing childhood around food.
And did your parents have any weight issues?
Not really. When my mother went on a public diet when she was about, actually the age I'm at now, 43, maybe she did a bit younger. Maybe she was in her late 30s, I believe. It was a big deal in Toronto. She publicly went on a diet in the newspaper and lost a lot of weight and had a dietitian, and she wrote about it every week. And so she did lose 30 pounds, I believe it was. But we're both very small. We're 5'1", and we're Ashkenazi Jewish, so we're round women. We're not meant to be skinny and curvy, and we tend to put on weight easily. So my mother went on this diet and publicly, and so I went through that with her, and I was a teenager. I was about 14 at the time, I think, and that was a very impressionable age. So she got into this really low-fat, restrictive thing. She wrote a book about it, and in the end, it failed because we know now that low-fat diets don't work. Well, diets don't work. So I watched my mother go through that as well, and that's about the time I developed my own eating disorder.
You know, it's interesting. My husband's been in the media here for years, and he went on a similar plan. And, you know, people are very cruel about things like that. It's either you're succeeding or you're not succeeding.
Yes,
if you
yes.
gain a pound, and they look at you and judge you.
Oh,
and,
terrible.
You know, I just was watching a show earlier about this thing called My 600-Pound Life. It's a TV reality
yes,
show.
Yes, I heard about that.
And, you know, people judge everybody all the time on so many things. And if we think if we get skinny, then life will be great. And I think you know from what you went through, because you did a similar thing as your mom and lost weight.
Yeah.
And did it make you any happier?
No. Well, I was anorexic, actually. It was pretty bad. I think at my worst, I was just under 100 pounds. And at my best, I should be about 125, 130. So I was pretty underweight, but I ended up being bulimic. I did the whole thing. I joke about how I've tried every different kind of eating disorder out there, so I kind of know the rounds. So I was anorexic, I was bulimic. Then I became orthorexic, which is, have you heard of orthorexia?
I think I just have, and is that, describe what it is.
Yeah, well, orthorexia, to me, I'm really big on talking about orthorexia, especially living on the island. I don't know if you find this in Victoria so much, but where I live, there's a lot of people that are very into the health food movement, and a lot of it is around raw food around where I live. People go on these very extreme diets. What orthorexia is, it was a term coined by Dr. Stephen Bratman in a wonderful book I recommend highly called Health Food Junkies. And what orthorexia nervosa is, he coined this term, is the fixation on eating healthy food. And my experience was basically I turned vegetarian when I was 15. And I think it was a bit of an attitude thing, you know, 15 years old, to really bug my mother. If I really wanted to get to my mother, food writer, I could turn vegetarian. That would be the number one thing I could do to drive her insane, and it worked. So I became vegetarian, and then I became vegan, and then I, you know, I wouldn't eat her food, and that's a really interesting thing in a mother-daughter dynamic.
And it's like a religion, isn't it, nowadays?
Yeah, yeah, and I feel so bad for my mom. We've worked through this in therapy, but I was terrible to... I mean, I can't imagine what it was like having me as a kid. But anyway, I was vegan. I started working at health food stores. Food became a religion to me, actually. It became like a lifeline. My food, my diet was like a religion, really. And that's what I think orthorexia is, you know?
Yeah, when you're afraid to open the cupboard or the fridge because you don't know what to have anymore.
When you're afraid of food, food is just food, right? It's just a substance. It's fuel for the body. But we give it this godlike status when we're sick.
And we want to enjoy our lives, and food is such a big part of that, and like what your mother did for a living, to gather around a table, and even culturally, talking about being Jewish, a lot of cultures, food is a reward, so one thing you're being told, you know, you're too fat, and the next thing you know, have another knish, right?
Yeah. Well, interestingly, what really turned me around, there are two events I've been asked a lot when I've done workshops and talks about what the pivotal moments were when I stopped, when I started to recover from my eating disorder. And it was when I was, I would say 19 years old is when it really turned around for me, or started. I mean, it was a very long process. But one thing is, my grandmother is a Holocaust refugee, and she survived, they escaped from Latvia, Riga, in 1939, and came to Canada, and only four of them survived, or five, I think it was five, and 32 relatives were killed. My mother's actually just written a whole thing on this. It's called Mom and Me. It's about my grandmother's journey with the Holocaust. She's still alive. But anyway, my grandmother saw a picture of me when I was 19, and I had shaved my head. I wasn't wearing makeup, and I was anorexic, and I was really underweight. And she wanted to talk to me on the phone, and she just said to me, "You look like a Holocaust survivor."
Oh, wow.
And she was shaken to the bone, and she said, "Why would you do that when you have a choice?"
Oh, my gosh, Esther.
And so that was one of the key turnarounds for me, is to devastate my grandmother like that after what she went through was the worst thing I could possibly think of doing in my life. And the second was that my little sister Ruth was born when I was almost 17, quite a lot. My mom was 42 when she had Ruth, and she was a surprise. And I realized I was really, really sick, and Ruth's dad left. It was a very awful situation. So my mom and I were left to raise my sister together, and I had to be healthy to be there to wake up and feed her and change her. And so I decided I had to be alive, really, to care for her.
Esther, it's a great book. It's called It's Not About the Food, Esther Kane. It really is an important piece of reading if you deal with any food issues or people you know. Back in 2 minutes with Esther.
Traffic got you down. We'll get you up and going with more traffic more often. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Do you have questions about cremation or cemetery pre-planning? The expert staff at Royal Oak Burial Park can answer those questions and help you make informed decisions about cemetery and cremation services. A personal visit to Royal Oak Burial Park on Falaise Drive or to their website at robp.ca can make a big difference when a death occurs tomorrow. Straightforward answers to your important questions. Royal Oak Burial Park, all about service, not sales.
I'm a no-frills kind of guy, and if you ask me, it ain't about the sizzle, it's about the steak. That's why I invest with Great Pacific Mortgage.
Mortgage investments are about as exciting as a baked potato, but they're secure and consistent, with historical returns of 7% to investors quarter after quarter, no matter what the economy's doing.
Now, doesn't that make you appreciate the steak?
Call Great Pacific Mortgage and Investments. After all, it's your money. Historical returns are no guarantee of future returns. Investors are advised to read the offering memorandum prior to investing.
This is Julie Skinner from Vision Travel inviting you to book your 2015 Avalon Waterways European River Cruise by September 30th and save up to $1,000 per couple. Imagine touring Europe at a leisurely pace, all in complete luxury as you glide past medieval towns and sunny vineyards along Europe's legendary waterways. Vision Travel, vacations crafted by professionals. 250-412-1888. That's 250-412-1888.
Do you misplace things, forget people's names, and have a hard time concentrating? You could boost your brain power with PSIQ Memory from Natural Factors. PSIQ is a unique supplement that may help improve memory and may be the key to peak mental performance for life. Find PSIQ at the Vitamin Shop, where the price is always right and the service is excellent. Get $2 off when you buy PSIQ at the Vitamin Shop, 1212 Broad Street. Call 250-386-1212 or visit CanadianVitaminShop.com.
The following is a recording from an earlier broadcast.
We are back. Patty Mac here. If you want to get a hold of me, my website is lifestylewithpattymac.com. I'm a realtor. I've got the radio show. If you want to know anything about either thing, I'd love to hear from you. I always like getting your comments and also your ideas for shows. Joining us today is Esther Kane. Her book is called It's Not About the Food, A Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food in Her Body. She's a registered clinical counselor. It's a great book. And, you know, we left off on one note. Let's talk about the next phase in this, which is your approach. How do we help ourselves to like ourselves better, enjoy our life, enjoy our food, and get on with it.
Right, okay. So I'm a psychotherapist in private practice. I should just make that clear. And my website, by the way, is estherkane.com. It's E-S-T-H-E-R-K-A-N-E.com. Also, if you want to know more about my book, workshops, and audio program, it's endyoureatingdisorder.com. So basically, I work with women with all sorts of issues in person and via the phone, but the most common thing that comes across, and no matter what a woman is struggling with, is her relationship with food and her body. It seems to always come up, regardless of the issue that is presenting. So my approach is, first of all, that that we live in a food obsessed culture, a fitness obsessed culture, what I call an eating disorder culture, where women are at war with their bodies. And I think there's politics behind this. In my opinion, there's three messages that women get from the media. One, you can never be too thin. Mm-hmm. Two, you can never be too young. I'm writing another book about that.
Yeah, looks good too.
Yeah, how to midwife your midlife. And then three, you can never be too rich. So those are the standards by which we're sort of trying to measure ourselves.
Not much to live up to, really.
just a little thing here and there. Oh, plus you're supposed to have a career, fulfilling career, and raise children.
Perfect children.
Yeah. So the facts are, studies have shown 80 to 90% of women dislike the size and shape of their bodies. 70% of women in Canada are dieting, and that's from a few years ago, so it's probably higher. And the new F word is fat. More girls and women fear becoming fat than they fear dying.
Wow.
These are facts. So basically what I tell women is you don't have to be at war with your body. This is something we can choose to rebel against. The facts are less than 3% of women are genetically predisposed to be tall and thin. And looking like a model or a superstar is a full-time job if you do happen to be one of those 3% of people. For example, Madonna in the old days used to work out at least 2.5 hours a day and was on an extremely restrictive diet. And, you know, those supermodels that you see, for the most part, we're finding out more and more, are literally anorexic.
Right. And when you look at a Madonna, you know, really, that's not what 56 looks like for most people.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, there's a whole plastic surgery on top of that. So So basically, this you can never be too young. This is my big bandwagon now because I'm 43 and entering that time of life when you start to realize that the pressure to look young is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, people are starting to get all these cosmetic procedures and whatnot. So what I really focus on is a very self-loving approach and loving ourselves through this. And really, so I work from the personal is political as well. I'm very, very big on sharing my own experience with these struggles as well, that I'm just a woman like every other woman out there, and that I struggle with this stuff every day, just like you. Mm-hmm. And it's, I find that when I do that, there's a real connecting point with myself and my clients. So they don't feel that I'm in a different category or that I'm better than them, or, you know, because we all struggle with this to some degree. And what I'm really about is the power to change. So I work from a political point of view. So I do explain in my book, I do a history, actually, of body image in North America. There's a whole chapter on that. And I just want to point out that we have only been, you know, fashions changed, body fashions changed. So within the last 100 years, it's only been around the last 100 years that women have been totally obsessed with their weight and how they look. Well, not how they look. They've always been a little bit obsessed. But guess what was invented 100 years ago?
Dieting?
Mirrors.
Mirrors, aye, aye, aye. Yeah.
So mirrors came along about 100 years ago. And scales, then scales. Mm. So two inventions, mirrors and scales. And actually tall buildings, because tall buildings, and you know, being urban, you know, with all of the developments in the world and industrialization, women could actually see their reflections in these buildings now. So it was sort of then that we started to get this obsessiveness. And people realized it was big business. So I basically want to say that what the media is doing is, it's big business. They make money by making women feel insecure about their bodies. The bottom line, that's it.
Very true. And, you know, my mom was in a seniors living place, and women were still in their 90s talking about losing 10 pounds.
Oh, geez.
I know.
When can you stop?
It's crazy, right? And I think it's that internal dialogue like you talk about. And you have parts in your book that talk about putting in the right, you know, the right mindset. It starts there. And maybe, you know, I think getting rid of the scale, too. I think that lots of times these scales are in people's bathrooms. It's like, you know, they want to horrify themselves every day and make themselves feel bad. So what other tips do you have for people? What is your take on kind of what you can eat or what you do eat and exercise, all those sort of typical things? Or is there a typical thing?
Okay. So basically, I don't talk a lot about food and exercise with my clients. It's, the basics are true, and we all know them.
Yeah.
Every woman that comes to me knows more than I do about that stuff. Let's face it.
That's true.
We know about every bloody diet that's been invented, right? Yeah. We've tried it all. We've tried the Atkins.
Yeah.
We've tried the low fat. We've tried the, you know, the raw food and the, you know, now it's the paleo diet, the raw food diet. There's all these different diets. And basically, I want people to remember at all times, every time you think about going on a diet, I want you to ask, who's making money from this?
Wow. Yeah.
Who's making money? It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And the facts are that 93 to 95% of dieters regain all the weight they lost between 2 and 5 years of the original diet, plus 10 pounds.
It's just such a big business. And, you know, you're talking about your new book. And I think when you get to your mid, you know, say 50s, or, you know, as you're approaching 50s, you get where maybe you have a little more money, you have a little more of this and that. And it's sort of like you don't want to give up anything anymore. So you have the little pooch and all that stuff. But it's like, hey, you know, I still am struggling with it, but I really don't want to do anything about it in some ways, you know?
Right, right. And I think that's really important. So I had a client this week, and this is a perfect example, who's a beautiful, gorgeous young woman in her 20s who looked at me and she said, there's something I want to talk to you about. And it was, okay. And it was her belly. And, you know, the belly and the tears. And I thought, wow. And my response to that was, isn't that an interesting perception that women have about their bellies? What do our bellies do? They give life.
Yeah.
Our bellies give life. Like, men can't do that.
And they have bellies.
Yeah, they have bellies too, and their bellies are great too. But, you know, but it's so interesting how we, we learn to hate this belly, and it's any protrusion of the belly, right? Yeah. A flat stomach is all that we accept in this society. And any woman that has had a child knows, I mean, some women it magically disappeared, but a lot of women.
I hate those women.
Away, right?
I had three, I had a 10-pounder, so it's like, help.
Yeah, you know, and that's, to me, it's like war wounds, you know, it's like, you know, it's something to show off.
So love that belly.
Yeah, good, good. That's wonderful. And I think it's so important that we start to just reframe this stuff in terms of who's winning and who's losing and who am I trying to please. And the nice thing that I found after turning 40 is you start to not care so much about what other people think. That's the magic of midlife, in my opinion.
That's very true. And you write an interesting blog about bathing suits because,
yes,
you know, we see Sports Illustrated. And
my swimsuit issue, yes.
So in the little bit of time we have left, give us some advice on this and what your take on the bathing suit was.
My bathing suit, basically, I bought a $20 Costco bathing suit, and it looked like awful, just awful. And I went to a Soyuz for a month, and I felt terrible in it, and I couldn't stand how I looked. And I've worked really hard on loving my body. So my husband said, why don't we go buy you a really nice bathing suit? And I spent, let's face it, $300, I think, on two really nice bathing suits. But I have large breasts. They are underwire. They have bras inside. They're flattering. They're beautiful. I felt like $1 million. And as I said in my blog, I was walking around like Marilyn Monroe incarnated around that pool.
When you hoist those girls up, it helps a lot.
Yeah, it really does. And I think it's about really working with what we have. I mean, common sense. There's common sense about food and weight. I'm not about restrictive diets. I'm about, you know, eating, mindful eating is a big part of what I talk about a lot, especially in the book, is mindful eating and being very mindful. So eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full, not doing distracted eating, which we do so much of, being there in the present, just eating when you're eating, not watching TV, not reading. Retraining the brain, I have a whole chapter on cognitive behavioral therapy. So basically, the emotions we experience, we create by what we think. So our thoughts are very powerful, and we have to work a lot on changing our thoughts from negative to positive.
Esther, it's been so wonderful having you on the show. The book is called It's Not About the Food, A Woman's Guide to Making Peace with our Food and Our Bodies. You can get a hold of Esther at her website, and that is
www.estherkane.com.
And you can get a hold of me at lifestylewithpattymack.com. Esther, I do hope you'll come back on again about many topics and, of course, about your new book. I think you've given lots of insight today, and I really appreciate it.
Great. I hope it's helpful for people.
It's very helpful. And if you help one person in this world, it's all worth it. Oh. Back after the news with Charlene.
In real estate, unique is an overused word. Parkside at Royal Bay turns unique on its head, setting the new standard of living in the West Shore. You've never seen such affordable luxury like this. West Coast contemporary architecture, designer interiors, top quality finishes and appliances, with income-producing legal suites. The homes of Parkside at Royal Bay are energy efficient and built on low-maintenance freehold lots. Experience the new standard of living at an open house every weekend from 2 to 4. Learn more at the newstandard.ca.
Remember when riding our bikes meant total freedom and joy? Transporting us to wherever our hearts desired. Let Pedego Electric Bicycles help you find new freedoms. The freedom of effortlessly climbing hills. The freedom from gasoline, parking, and the childlike joy of riding with ease. Victoria's first dedicated electric bicycle store is now in Oak Bay. Experience the freedom with a free test ride. Pedego Electric Bicycles, 2039 Oak Bay Avenue.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. It's 1:30 in the CFAX newsroom. I'm Rob Freeman. A portion of Beacon Hill Park has been closed off by Victoria Police after the body of a 49-year-old man was found there this morning. Police and the coroner are on scene near Douglas and Southgate. Now, police think the body has been there for some time, given the condition of the remains. Vic PD don't believe this death is suspicious, but the coroner will ultimately decide if foul play was involved. Island Health is urging everyone to stay out of the lower sections of the Cowichan River. Testing shows high levels of bacteria in the water, and those levels exceed the Canadian guidelines for recreational water quality. It's recommended no one swim, wade, or tube on the river. Justin Trudeau's home in Ottawa was broken into this morning while his wife and children were asleep, and a threatening note was left behind. Apparently nothing was stolen. The federal Liberal leader was working in Winnipeg at the time. Trudeau's office says everyone in the family is safe. Nobody was hurt. Sask Power says it asked for a legal exemption when installing smart meters because of a shortage of electricians in Saskatchewan. The province's NDP says the government changed the law to let Sask Power use unqualified workers to install smart meters. The NDP also says the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers wasn't happy about that. But Sask Power says the Electricians Union and Unifor both signed the corporation's request to get the exemption extended. A man and woman in northern New York State have been charged with abducting two Amish girls from a roadside farm stand on Wednesday. The girls, ages 7 and 12, are now back home. With the details, here's reporter Gio Benitez.
We're told there were some sort of coercion tactics that were used to try to lure the girls into the car, and then they just took off. It all happened very, very fast. 24 hours later, they mysteriously dropped the girls off on a random road, and those girls then walked over to a nearby house, knocked on the door, and sure enough, the homeowners there recognized the girls from news reports.
The man and woman have been charged with two counts of first-degree kidnapping with the intent to physically harm or sexually abuse the girls. And a woman in Texas apparently stole a bottle of $4 wine so she could get arrested and see her boyfriend, who's in jail. Police say she stole a bottle of wine from a gas station. They found her outside the station drinking it, and she told them to take her to jail so she could see her boyfriend, who was arrested just a few hours earlier. It's 1:33. We've got your weather coming up next.
Attention sports fans, stop what you're doing. Unless, of course, you're driving or operating heavy machinery, in which case just turn up your radio. We have a very important announcement to make. You're getting more sports. On August 25th, TSN is expanding its roster to 5 feeds, giving you more of the sports that matter to you. More sports, more choice, more TSN. That is all. Now back to whatever it is you were doing.
CFAX weather, mainly cloudy today. A chance of showers, highs 19 to 23 degrees. Clouds tonight, a low down to 14. Sunshine tomorrow, highs 20 to 24. Right now in downtown Victoria, it's 21 degrees. I'm Rob Freeman. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. It's coming up on 1:34.
The following is a recording from an earlier broadcast.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You'll hear me every Saturday from 1 to 2 right here on CFAX 1070. You can contact me through my website, which is Patty Mack, lifestylepattymack.com. Joining me in this section of the show is Charlene Ionescu, and she's with Aesthetic Design Concept Services. And she's been on before talking about different subjects. And today our topic is feng shui at home. And it's, you know, a topic a lot of people don't know a lot about and don't know how it really affects your home. Charlene, what is feng shui?
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Charlene.
So feng shui, it's the Chinese art of placement, and it has been practiced for over 3,000 years in China. So what it means is, the definition is wind and water. So it's all about movement and circulation. And, you know, we tend to know it as having an esoteric side, you know, so, which seems at first peculiar for some Westerners.
I think that's it. I think that people sometimes poo-poo ideas they don't know anything about, but yet in the cultures, it's been very successful in bringing harmony into their lives. I guess it's very much like if we have too much clutter or too much areas that affect our lives can affect our finances. So let's take your house, for instance. Do you have any rooms that you use these principles in, and how has it affected the home?
Well, I do use those principles. It's just for common sense, you know. It's about creating harmony and balance in an environment. And so some examples of how we apply that is that we make sure that our traffic patterns through our home is very convenient. And we also position our furniture in comfortable arrangements. We try very hard to eliminate clutter in our living and workspaces. And we are sensible to the ways that would make our life easier and more efficient.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean putting all the furniture against the wall, but it might mean that you don't have a lot of things to get around either in the middle of the room.
Well, to simplify it, basically it's about energy. So it's called ki, and the energy should flow and as you walk into your room. So you try not to have things that would obstruct your life, you know, or your... So that's how the Chinese culture bring that. The more flow you have through your home, the more qi, the more smooth it runs, then the more good luck you bring to your environment.
And, you know, I'm a realtor at RE/MAX, and I specialize in, 40-plus and downsizing and all kinds of things like that. And I go and I do look at homes and try and stage things. And, you know, when you take a client in a home, it's that energy you feel right away that people are either turned off or really like
yes.
it. And you can feel a home that has a good energy about it.
Yes, and that's in feng shui, it's translated into yin and yang. So those are the two energy, and they complement each other. They're not really in opposition to each other. And what it means is, like, for example, if you have a room that has too much yin, which means it's too dark, or, you know, you would feel that either it's too damp, too dark, it's decorated with only grays and blues, it's always closed or has been occupied for a long time by someone who has been chronically sick. That's the type of room where we tend not to feel comfortable in.
So what are some tips, say, in a room like that, if we want to bring back some life, some energy, because we just feel that when we walk in there? Are there certain paint colors that work?
Yes, happy colors for window treatments, bright colors for self-furnishing, duvet, bed sheets, have vases of freshly cut water without. But it would be about bringing in the light, and it would be, you know, if bringing some sound, some life and laughter, some through TV or radio, introducing movement with mobiles or wind chimes. The preferred color would be to use would be whites, pinks, yellows, and, you know what, even some reds.
You know, it's interesting. Last time we were talking about, seniors and,
yes.
and a lot of the issues around that was very interesting. I had a lot of great feedback about that show. You talk about bringing life into the room, because I think lots of times we think someone's ill or, we have to be very quiet and keep... We need to bring life in, don't we, whether it's by the radio, CFAX, or the TV, or whatever way it is, to bring back some music, something to feel we're in a positive path.
Yes. And then what is interesting, Patty, that there's also the other situation where there's too much yang.
Mm.
So this means that too much light and too much noise. So it's that type of house where, for instance, you are exposed to bright sunlight, or you're exposed to heat of any kind, or if the house is located near an electrical transmitter, or if your views are of a large factory, refineries, that type of environment is also disturbing for a lot of people.
I've always enjoyed where I live, and it must have the right yin and yang for us because it really works. When we come back, more with Charlene.
Join Club 1070. Give us feedback and win. Pick your favorite topics. Tell us the guests you love or love to hate. Sign up now at CFAX1070.com.
Club 1070 members get to have the same programming, and they're eligible for great prizes such as trips, concert tickets, movie passes, gift certificates, and more.
Join Club 1070 and win. Sign up now at CFAX1070.com. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Fairway Markets.
Hey, Victoria, I'm Caitlin Livingston, letting you know what's going on around the area. Row, row, row your dragon boat gently down the Inner Harbor. Today is the second day of the Dragon Boat Festival, and the races have already started, and the kids' tents are open. And at 2 o'clock and 3:30, there's a Chinatown walking tour you can participate in. This place is packed full of activities, food, music, and of course, happy people. Join your fellow animal lovers at BCSPCA and come together to fight animal cruelty. On September 7th at Clover Point Road, enjoy a fun-filled day filled with barbecues, kids' events, a dog zone and pet parlor, prizes, and so much more. And catch the BC Lions game live on CFAX on August 24th. Find more events at www.cfax1070.com. That has been your community connections. Fairway Market proudly supports the Dragon Boat Festival and BC Cancer Research.
The Dragon Boats have arrived. The special savings will keep them company. Pick up your Fairway flyer and clip and save on assorted kettle chips. A 220-gram bag, just $1.89. Black Diamond cheddar-style slices, a 500-gram bag, just $2.59. Assorted Italian pasta, a 900-gram bag, just $1.49. Enter to win one of 50 $50 gift cards or a BlackRock Ocean Resort weekend getaway. It's Canada Dry's Victoria Dragon Boat Festival 20th anniversary sales event at Fairway Markets. If you haven't shopped Fairway Markets lately, you haven't shopped Fairway Markets.
How busy is your summer?
The out-of-town guests fly in next week. Did you book the rental car?
Yeah, got a minivan for a weekend road trip.
Weddings, family reunions, island sightseeing. Budget of Victoria Car and Truck Rental is there for local residents. They're different because of their service. It's better. Make Budget of Victoria your go-to rental company. They're locally grown with deep community roots.
I work for Budget of Victoria and I'm proud of it.
Budget of Victoria Car and Truck Rental. Google them or find them on Facebook and budgetvictoria.com.
Growing your knowledge along with your plants. Gardening 101 with Jeff DeYoung. Sunday mornings at 10 on CFAX 1070.
The following is a recording from an earlier broadcast.
We are back. Patty Mac here with Lifestyle. We are talking to Charlene Ionescu, talking about feng shui at home. Charlene, what about plants and greenery, like living things, not the plastic flowers in your home? What kind of, what does that add to your environment?
Well, the belief is that plants play a very important role in feng shui because they bring the natural life of the qi, which is that energy we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And they also keep the air fresh and they enhance the east and southeast position, which is one of the feng shui principle. And we tend to, they are also great poison arrow diffusers, so basically they reject bad energy. And we use them to hide the jutting corners, for example, or to deflect the negative energy that would come from beams and columns. We also, it helps, they help move energy in a recessed corner, and they drain the excess water energy in a bathroom, so they balance a bathroom area. And we also use them to slow down the energy in corridors, you know, long straight corridors. It's known to have fast energy, and it's very important to balance it. So,
is there any kind of plant, I guess, in a long hallway, maybe you want a taller tree, are there any kind of plants in particular you like to use?
Well, you know, there's some superstition about the specific type of, like, for instance, the lucky bamboo, or the idea being that it's known that we should avoid dried plants, but you know, then again, some people are very comfortable with that. But in general, it has to be fresh. Cut flowers would, you know, plants preferably, but then after that, cut flowers would have to be well maintained.
Yeah.
And you know, plants are one of the tools that are used for feng shui. We also use mirrors a lot and crystals.
And mirrors reflect a space, and what does that do for it?
Well, mirrors, they activate and they would enhance and they would help that qi energy circulate through the space. They are very useful in constrained spaces where they can double up the size of the area. And they are effective in recreating the missing spaces because, you know, the footprint of your house should have 9 areas, and sometimes due to the shape of the property, there are some missing spaces, and we would use mirror to recreate that missing area. And they should be positioned correctly. You know, they shouldn't be reflecting a main door, staircases, stoves, or toilet. And they shouldn't hang opposite a door, a window, another mirror. And they should be reflecting a bed or a brick wall, for instance.
Yeah, the toilet, that's not ever good. And that's why people need a professional like yourself to come in, because, you know, people put up mirrors, they're too high, too low, they're, you know, not reflecting, as you say, the right thing. So someone like yourself to come in and do that once and get it right.
Yes, it does make a difference to have someone else come into your space and help you reevaluate your... how you placed your art or mirrors, like we're saying, or the furniture. It does make a difference to, you know, but this is why I'm very interested in feng shui, because it's a part of interior design, and it just makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's about balance then, isn't it? It sounds like it's, you know, not too loud, not too noisy, not too quiet. Like it's in between somewhere. So that's where the harmony comes from, because it's very balanced.
Yes, we try to, you know, make it inviting and comfortable, and we should be owning our house, not our goods, you know, and furniture.
And you know, even if we have areas, I heard with feng shui, say a junk drawer that's full of stuff, it kind of emotionally will take energy away from us. So we should deal with those areas in our homes that are overcrowded, overdone.
Well, clutter is always some type of a barrier. But, you know, for example, in living rooms, a lot of times you would see a furniture layout that are not really inviting to conversation, or they don't have the proper clearances between furniture, and then comes that guest who's maybe in a wheelchair, and then you have to start to move everything. Or you would have... in dining rooms, for feng shui, it's considered a social area and the center of wealth for the house. So we today are not so formal with dining rooms, but the area where we eat should have a good energy, and the decor should be kept upbeat, and you know, we should avoid heavy centerpieces there, and we should have chairs with backs. You know, and avoid that those backs to be facing a doorway, and you know, details like that
make a difference. When we come back, let's talk more about that and maybe a little bit about our backyard for our summer entertaining.
And now, Ask Shell, brought to you by Chick Liquid Vinyl, a member of my HouseSmart Home Services. Folks, I get asked all the time about cracked stucco on the outside of houses. Well, I'm talking with Dave Bender of Chick Liquid Vinyl. Dave, I've known you and your dad for almost 30 years now, and you guys are the stucco experts. How much of a problem is cracked stucco, and how do you deal with it?
Shell, if cracked stucco allows rainwater into a wall, it can cause extensive and expensive damage. Our Chick Liquid Vinyl is an effective solution to this problem. Chick is not paint, but a super durable, long-lasting coating that we apply right over cracked stucco. It seals the cracks and stays flexible so the cracks don't come back. A Chick Liquid Vinyl application looks beautiful and will protect the walls for many years in a way that paint just doesn't.
Folks, to have Coastal Home Improvement Center inspect your stucco, call 858-6308 or go to coastalhomeimprovement.ca.
You need money. You own your home.
I need money. I own my home.
Meet Get Acceptance.
Online?
Or on the phone.
Not like a bank.
No, it's a simple application.
Credit check?
Nope. No need for a credit check or income history. And approvals take about 24 hours.
I need the money for...
It doesn't matter what you need the money for. Need $15,000?
$50,000.
Or $300,000. Go to Get Acceptance.
And get...
Accepted. Get Acceptance. When you can't bank on the banks, go to getthatloan.ca. Some conditions apply.
They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Okay, then what's a video worth? This is Kevin Ramsey of Fair Realty's Sweet Home Victoria real estate team. Let your property be the star of its own reality show on Sweet Home Victoria TV. Professional reality videos that take buyers on a guided tour and allow sellers to showcase the best attributes of their property. This is the future of real estate marketing. So remember, when it's time to sell your sweet home, for impeccable representation at respectable rates, go to sweethomevictoria.com.
The following is a recording from an earlier broadcast.
Patty Mack here. You're listening to Lifestyle on CFAX 1070 every Saturday from 1 to 2. You can contact me, lifestylewithpattymack.com. We have Charlene Ionescu, who is from Aesthetic Design Concept Services. And how do people get a hold of you, Charlene?
I can be reached via phone. It's 250-800-0154. Or we have a website, which is www.aesthetic.com, AESTHETICC.com.
Now, we're talking about feng shui and your home today and how it can improve personal prosperity, health, happiness, positive energy, and harmony in your home. What about the office? Because that's an area sometimes where, you know, you might be doing your business as well as your home, affairs there, kids projects. There could be a lot of things that cover that area. How can we keep that in order so that we can accomplish more?
Well, it's the same principle for a house. Then you can transfer the same for each room of the house. So what it means is that there are 9 locations with feng shui, and each location represents a part of our life. So, for instance, the south location of our house or the south location of a room would represent the recognition and fame in our house. As for the north would be the representation of our career and work. So if you take your house as much as possible, you would try to locate the home office in the north area of the house. And if you can't do that, then once you are in a room, in the office room, you would try to have, depending on the tasks that are performed there, you would try to have, for instance, the work part of your work on the north corner of that room, and so forth. So based on those 9 locations, this is how we start any layout for, the groundwork to establish feng shui in your life.
Okay, and for a bedroom, is there a certain spot where the bed is better place so that you have a better sleep? Is there such a thing as that?
Yes. Basically, we try to avoid having a bed located in front of the door. You know, when you open the door, you shouldn't have
the bed
right in front of you, yes. And feng shui would encourage the bedroom area to be, you know, luxurious and decadent. And you should also have to support at the headboard. And it's a great area to avoid water features and avoid plants because they have too much energy for the rest. And it should be clutter-free.
Right.
We also, one of the big rules is that if there are beans on the ceiling, we really avoid placing a bed under them.
Okay, and now we're talking about the backyard as well. We have a couple minutes left. Our
yes.
deck in the backyard, how do we kind of make that environment inviting and, on these hot days, make it feel cool and welcoming and comfortable?
Well, there are different ways to approach the outdoor space, but basically it is the same as any indoor environment. So you would try to bring comfort and to have the space represent maybe in a back door, in the outdoor we are a little bit more relaxed than on the indoor. But the garden would be a great way to bring things we like, either sculptures, water features. A specific favorite type of foliage, bring some color. If someone is very, very interested in a specific color, that may be a very good way to bring it. And to garden and to have a space for that would help our senses,
And we can overdo it in that area too, can't we, where we have too many pieces of outdoor furniture in a small area. Or too many planters, that also sometimes can be edited to have a better flow.
Yes, and it gets to be more comfortable, basically. The same rules for furniture layout would apply. We would like to be able to sit and have a conversation. And the same goes with the dining area outside. If you have a table with chairs, it's nice to be able to see everyone around the table. If you have, sometimes we have more guests and we have to place those extra spaces outdoor, and then it's okay. But on a regular basis, yeah, clutter can be oppressive, even outdoor.
And so I hear, the table outside, and you're talking about the table inside, maybe how we're not doing as much of that. But I think you probably agree, maybe it's time to use some of those tables and have the family meals again and use those spaces, enjoy them.
Yes, and just make it the center of the family and bring quality time and have good energy in the space. And that would help and make it feng shui, let's say.
Okay, and how do people get in touch with you about all the various things that you do, Charlene?
Yes, we can be reached by phone at 250-800-0154, or we have an email, a website, which is www.aestheticc.com, AESTHETICC.com.
Always great information, and anything we do to make our homes more enjoyable. I think we've learned lots today about eating some good food, enjoying some company, making our space nice. I appreciate Esther and Charlene being on the show today. Natalia, thank you very much for operating the board. Thank you every Saturday for being here with me on Lifestyle on CFAX. I appreciate it. Contact me about real estate and radio, lifestylepattymack.com. Till we meet again, get out there and enjoy your life.